Hello and welcome to Theatre Voice. I'm Sophie Reynolds and I'm here at the Victoria and Albert Museum in London with Matthew Dunster, writer, director and actor, and we're going to be talking about his new production, Children's Children, which is currently playing at the Almeida. Matthew.
Hello.
Let's start sort of at the beginning. Let's maybe set the scene a little bit about what this play is about.
What is it about? I had a friend who had been a very, very successful television personality, and he told me one weekend that he was going to have to call in some favours because he'd been very generous when he'd been earning television money, and he has since sort of found a second life, if you like, and now he's very much a theatre person. And he went to call in this debt, and when he arrived at the door of the house, having found it really strange, it was so hard to track this friend down. He knocked on the door and his daughter answered. And he said, "I've come to see Dave," whatever this guy was called. And she said, "Dave's dead." So he was hit by this kind of moral dilemma, I suppose. How do I get this money back? Can I ask this young girl for this money? She inherited this house, etc. So, and I sort of didn't want to hear any more than that, because I just sort of ran away with that and thought, felt like Ibsen or something to me. It was a really old-fashioned kind of moral dilemma. So there was that. And the other thing was that in the last few years, not since I've written the play, interestingly, but the 3 years before that, I was going to Zimbabwe about twice a year working out there with young theatre practitioners teaching craft. And I wanted to write a play that was about how we live our lives, remembering that however we choose to live our lives, there are other people in other parts of the world whose circumstances are extraordinarily different, and how little, I mean, my God, how much has these two coffees just cost us in your cafe downstairs? And we do that with little consideration for what's going on everywhere else. So those are the two starting points. That doesn't really tell you what the play's about, but those are the two starting points.
Okay, and actually you've transferred those onto the stage quite literally in some ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And it's interesting that you mentioned Ibsen, because it feels quite Ibsen-esque in some ways. I mean, it has a very classic form.
Yeah, well, I was reading a lot of... at the time, I was reading a great deal of Rattigan and Rodney Ackland, and then later, because they didn't write that many plays actually, I went back a generation and read a lot of Somerset Maugham, and I just became really excited about that three-act form and the tradition of planting seeds in the first act that bear fruit in the latter two acts. I just think it's a little bit of a lost craft, and not least because it's acknowledged immediately as sort of old-fashioned. So I suppose I wanted to take that shape, and within the body of it have some surprises, the lengths of speeches that people might not have expected, direct address in ways that people might not have expected. I think the sort of energy of the, you know, it's great bit writing, because you can sort of pay homage to people that you adore. And I adore Rattigan, and I really adore Woody Allen. And there's a, in my own little hidden quiet way, it's a kind of homage to Woody Allen. One of my favourite Woody Allen films is Husbands and Wives, and there's those brilliant emotional speeches to camera.
And when you were writing it, did you envision that it would be performed in sort of the Almeida kind of theatre space? And was it written for the Almeida?
No, it was written for another theatre company, who were very different, and younger, more energetic theatre company. And I suspected as I was writing it that I wasn't writing the right kind of play for that theatre company. And so it transpired. So they just couldn't get along with it, so I sent it to Mike, and he got back to me within about 48 hours and said, "I want to do it here." So I suppose once it finished, I had an inkling that that might be a good home for it.
Yeah.
And I think it's worth being sensible about that. There are plays that sit well in certain auditoriums and in a theatre's repertoire.
Yeah, and I mean, the style of the piece, I felt, it seemed to suit the Almeida very well, although there was this rather surprising twist of this sort of modernity within it, even though it was a very classic form and you have these, you know, the three acts and you have the direct monologues. I thought that was interesting, actually. I haven't seen the play for a while where every character had a chance to speak directly to the audience.
Yeah, and also, you know, those plays, and it sounds really obvious to say this, but I don't think a lot of modern plays do it. You know, the characters are not, each of those characters is somebody else by the end of the play, that they do over a 4-year period. They do go on a journey, they are changed. So yeah, I really went for that. And it's interesting, you know, that I think one of the exciting things for me about doing it at the Almeida is that, if you like, that socio-economic or group that make up that audience are on stage to some extent.
So it's like certainly being discussed. Viewing.
Yeah, certainly being discussed. And perhaps the people on stage have crept into that because they might have begun their lives as working class, but now very much middle class Londoners, which is why, you know.
I did think it felt quite uncomfortable. I'm not sure how many other people in the audience would have picked up on that, but was that something that you intended? Was
I mean, I was excited by it. I mean, you know, I haven't read any Howard Barker for a long time, and I've sort of gone back to him recently, and not least his brilliant Arguments for Theatre, which I still think is one of the best, if not the best, books about theatre I've ever read. And one of the things he says is everybody should be disturbed, and I think I sort of believe that. And in this current age where everybody's skint, everybody keeps telling you that it's like the 20s now, that people just want to be entertained, and this is a time when people want theatre and every other form of entertainment to take our minds off how miserable things are. I don't. I want to be reminded, and I want to be prodded, and I want to be made to realise how lucky I am to live where I live in the time that I live in, but that it's not like that for everybody. So yeah, if people are disturbed, I think that's a good thing. And also, I mean, because of where Jeremy's from, and in the opening speech, the character who's most bona fide middle class, if you like, she's got this speech, and very early on she talks about the other characters, and she says they're all from the north. And Jeremy kept telling me what a massive laugh that was going to get in the Almeida, and I'm like, that's not a joke, that's not funny, the people are from the north. It brings the house down every night, you know, which is, you know, surprising to me, but you know.
Well, it'd be interesting to see what happened if you had a production somewhere up north.
Yeah, maybe it might be quite interesting. I would guess that they might look at other characters, a lot of the characters as kind of people who betrayed them, moving away and living a different kind of life with different values.
And there is actually, I mean, from whatever way you look at it, I suppose there's quite a lot of betrayal going on in the play anyway, and that's something that it feels like there's a lot of theatre in London at the moment that's talking about how different generations are dealing with that. There's quite a few plays that deal with the baby boomer generation turning around and looking at their parents.
I didn't get to see Love, unfortunately, but reading about it and talking to some people who were in its previous incarnation, it made me very nervous, and I didn't want to go and see it. But I thought that we're in very similar territory here, and sometimes you have to just sort of keep clear of that a little bit just to make sure you stay on your own path. Yeah, I very much got a sense of that's what's going on there.
Is that just coincidence?
I don't know. I don't know. I guess because I guess I'm writing about a generation that's closer to me. I'm 42, and I suppose I've purposely written about a generation that's slightly above me, but I still feel very connected to them in terms of their values and my values. or rather their lack of values, or my lack of values is probably a better way of putting it. And then how that generation and my generation of children will be educated, and what their expectations are. I think that's something I want to say about the play, that it's about two generations and what they dare to think is theirs. And I actually think that the generation that's coming up are incredibly brave about what they think they can be. To me, they feel like they sort of think they can be anything. Well, those that have been lucky enough to have a good education. That certainly wasn't my experience, coming from where I'm from. We didn't have the same open, wide possibilities, perhaps.
The two characters of the younger generation in the play have... Effie has sort of one way of approaching life, and is sort of... I mean, both of them are... Castro and Effie are both sort of, you know, going for everything they can get, and obviously think that they can have it all, but in very different ways. It's rather difficult to sort of really pin down either of them as being right. I mean, it's rather a difficult...
I hope so. I mean, I would want everybody's relationship to each character to be really complex. There's something about Castro that, on the one hand, could be a very orthodox green hero of the play, but we're all sort of green heroes around the dinner table or whatever, and when we're flicking through the Sunday supplements. But there's a real spirit of inaction, and he comes to embody that, I guess, in the play. It's so easy to be aware. We talk about awareness all the time. I'm aware of everything, but I don't do anything about it. And I suppose that was that's his kick at me. I know that I would get off the plane from Zimbabwe and then go to an organic butcher and spend a week's wages on a piece of meat. Do you know what I mean? Because my values are out of sync. And Effie started off as an attack, really. I saw a documentary about a young woman whose parents had been very successful, so she's kind of... Well, she's a socialite. She's successful by default, if you like. And I found her behaviour on this documentary just despicable. She didn't seem to have any values except self-promotion. She's rude to everybody, really destructive behaviour. And so I started the play sort of, you know, not very proud to say this, but sort of a vicious attack against this young woman. And then as you write it, characters take on their own lives, and I just thought, my God, she gets out of bed, she gets off her arse, and she does stuff. And for me, by the end of it, she's become a very peculiar kind of hero and starts to have some sort of awakening. You know, she's not interested in where her clothes are made at the beginning of the play. By the end of it, has gone out to India to check. But, you know, something's niggled her, and she's gone out to check, and she's started to make changes to her life. In a way that actually we don't see in any of the other characters.
Yeah, it's interesting because she does definitely start the play as sort of this incredibly obnoxious, hateful creature, and you know exactly where she's coming from. And it's rather an uncomfortable feeling that by the end, actually, she is sort of the most successful person to come out of all of that mess.
Yeah, yeah. It's very interesting as well. People found it very hard to get to that place with her. Some of the audience members... Male audience members in particular, older male audience members in particular. I heard one say that I was coming out, I heard an audience member saying he just wanted to smash her face in. And that when Michael comes back in the third act and sort of nearly attacks her, he said, I wish he hadn't, I wanted him to smash her. You know, and that.
It's quite an extreme reaction.
It is quite an extreme reaction, but, you know, maybe that's what I was after, I don't know. But interestingly, Michael, though, I think we see commits real crimes. Sexual assault. People's sympathy for him at the end is extraordinary. Everybody said, you know, God, I felt really sorry for him. You say, what, the sex pest? Yeah, I felt really sorry for him. You know, when he comes in that room at the end, he's got nothing. So, you can never second guess, you know, where an audience sympathies are going to go. And maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you shouldn't.
It's interesting, though, because Michael is sort of the character who's... story you started with. I mean, presumably you had an idea of how you felt about him. from the beginning?
Or
maybe this was all about working that out?
This was all about working that out. It's all about working it out. I suppose the way I wrote the play, and again it was about trying to get to grips with that particular form, is I would write an act very quickly and then sit with it for a month or something and really try and see what seeds had naturally been sown, and then you pull some out and you hide some others, and then that led me to where the second act was going to go. I don't think I knew at the beginning. Excuse me. I don't think I knew at the beginning that he was going to get nicked for sexual assault. But there's something about his behaviour with Effie that made me think that might be an interesting way to go. And then you go back and you put some signs in the first act that help lead towards that point. So that was the kind of process.
Mm. It's an interesting production to watch as well, because the design is obviously, I mean, in the Almeida it's very beautiful, but it's challenging, isn't it? One of the most amazing sets I've probably ever seen, with the swimming pool.
Yeah, I mean, that was my nervousness about, well, that was one of my nervousnesses, that's not a word. That was one of my fears in writing it for the original theatre company, because I thought, where are they going to take this, where we can create a swimming pool? And you've just got to try and block that out of your head, haven't you? And then I had no idea if that could be pulled off at the Almeida. But Robert Innes Hopkins is—he's a kind of master of rooms. I was very pleased that was one. He was doing it. I think he's just great at rooms, and that's not to dismiss that skill. And yeah, he really took it on, and it gives the play everything it needs, which is great.
And it's sort of an amazing moment, because you have this play which is quite, looks, you know, quite acceptable, quite sort of, you know, what we're looking at. And then all of a sudden, Effie takes her clothes off and jumps into the swimming pool. And she does that quite a few times throughout it. And I don't know quite what your thought about that was. Is that integral?
The jumping in the swimming pool?
The nudity on stage.
Well, I don't have a problem with it. And I think we do, and it really, really, really depresses me. And I think one of the things that we don't have, and certainly what we don't have in the critical voices in this country, what we've lost is an erotic imagination. It's been really interesting directing Midsummer Night's Dream, where somebody's given a drug that makes them sexually attracted to a man who's been changed into a donkey, and then they have sex. And you read that scene, and they do have sex. And we, our theatre culture has taken a lot of that imagination away from that great play. And I think what I thought was integral about her nudity in Children's Children, and it doesn't happen quite a lot, it happens twice, is that on both times, In both occasions, she uses them as weapons. And the first time she uses it against a man, and it has no effect. So she stores up that weapon, and then she uses it again at a time when it, I hope, you know, lands on the play like a bomb. To reveal yourself, all of yourself, as a young woman, to a man who you know has just been accused of sexual assault on women is... quite a weapon.
And is that because that's all she's got, really? I mean, her body is the strongest weapon she could use at that point.
That's what she thinks she's got. Yeah. And it's madness and a lie to think that there aren't young women and young men around who know what power their body has, especially over people of a different generation.
Yeah.
And interesting, the director and the actress were always determined to go for it. And tens of actresses, you know, so many actresses just wouldn't come in to be seen for it because of the nudity. And I sympathise with that. I absolutely do. But I think it's a shame.
Well, yeah, particularly because within the context of this production, I mean, it is very normalised. I mean, it doesn't... There's not a lot of song and dance around it.
Mm. Yeah.
There's been some debate about this play, hasn't there, about sort of what it's about, as it were. And I came away and was thinking about that, and I guess I came to the conclusion that it was sort of about the transience of things and the way that you can't hang on to things in our, sort of in our society. Things get lost. I mean, would you say that's fair, or would you...
I don't know. What I think it's about is risk. I think we take massive risks with our own lives. So to stand in a lift and to grab a young woman's crotch because you think it's available to you is a risk, yeah? And you either get away with those things or you don't. And usually whether you get away with it or not is to do with power. And also what happens in the play is we see multinationals and governments going into places like Nigeria and taking massive risks with the lives of a whole country and its people. And if you get away with that, which they do, it's usually to do with power.
And money.
And money, yeah. So that's what the play is about for me. People, you know, I will risk running away with you to Africa. We see two of the characters daring to do that at the end of the show, Castro and Louisa. Only one of them dares to stay there. You know, only one of them is going to continue with that risk. So that's what the play is about for me. But as you have done with your analysis, I had to see it a few times to know that's what it's about, and I don't apologise for that. Mm-hmm. I don't. I think what I'm sort of not interested in is meaning. I don't know what it means. I know what I experience now when I watch it, and it's that. It's about the risk people are prepared to take with theirs and other people's lives. Excuse me.
And the other thing that I was interested, actually, is sort of more, I suppose, towards your relationship with it as the writer, because obviously you're a director and an actor as well. I mean, you didn't direct this.
No.
Was that because you felt that that wouldn't be the right thing to do?
Yeah, that's the simplest answer, yes. I always think that the work should be about struggle. Do you know what I mean? As I said, I didn't sit there and decide that this is what it was about. I looked at elements of what I'd written and tried to see where it was going. I knew that there was some, back to that word, some big risks in it, formally. You know, there's a speech that a lot of people have really struggled with in the third act. It's interesting that people don't like it, that they sometimes might suggest that it's ineptitude, which is madness, to think that, you know, that I don't go, whoa, it's going to be quite hard, this long speech in the middle of Act 3. To think that I never think that is a kind of madness. And to think that Michael Atwood doesn't read it and go, you know, there's this massive speech that comes near the end, that people are going to really have to go with that or not. And then somebody's experience is Jeremy, and then the actors take it on. You know, we all knew about the complexities and the risks in pulling the rug from under the internal mechanism of the play. But we were excited about
the challenge of it.
And the risk of that, and daring an audience to go with you or not, and then acknowledge within the play you might not have gone with us, you might have thought that was boring, you don't want to listen to this kind of stuff. I don't think that's an affront. I don't think that's being rude. You know what I mean? I just think it's, yeah, you just want to challenge people. And now I can't remember the original.
Well, about your relationship with it.
Oh, yeah, so because I knew all those things were in there, and you can't be confident when you hand it over, I just didn't want to go on that journey on my own. And I'd seen Jeremy's work, and I think he's incredibly respectful of new work. And, you know, there are some plays, I think, that are really illuminated by a big idea from a director, and then you might look for a particular kind of director. There are some plays that are so complicated anyway that they need a very assured, skilled, simple... And Jeremy describes himself in that term. there was a simplicity to his process that looks after the play, and I was very grateful for that.
Yeah, because I would agree there's no sort of big interpretation of the play. It's put on stage as it feels, as it was written.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's enough going on with that. Setting it in a nightclub, I reckon.
And as a writer, well, as anything, are you working towards other plans now? Well, you're working on loads of things.
Yeah, I mean, I've got I had a commission from the Young Vic. There's a play with them that I think they're going to do next year. That's about drug policy. So it's about a community of people who are involved in taking heroin. I've got very strong feelings about drug policy in the UK. You know, the current situation is a disaster, and it's been a disaster for 20 years. Something's got to change, you know. So, yeah, that's the next bright light comic app offering from me. There's that. What else am I doing? I'm directing a show. I don't know how much I'm allowed to say about this. I'm directing a show at the Almeida next year. I probably shouldn't say what it is, but interestingly, it's from the area that I was obsessing about when I wrote this play. It's a three-act, brilliant three-act comedy from British from the middle of the 20th century. So it's nice actually that, you know, I can repay the favour.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thank you.